So I guess we can get started. So does anyone have a favorite food they had today? Anyone eat anything they like? Shout it out.
The beef over here was delectable.
Woo! Thanks, Joy and Kevin, for cooking that. I know. Woo! Who else? Who else has a favorite dish? Yeah? Oh, nice. Yeah? Anyone else?
Dumplings.
Nice. Nice. Nika? Ah, nice, nice. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else has a favorite food? One more person. Yeah, Kobe?
Poutine.
Oh, no one said something I cook. It's okay. I guess you don't have to like what I cook. It's fine. It's okay. So anyways, for me, I love being here and eating with all of you guys, because us sharing a meal here is actually like a great foretaste of what heaven can be like. I actually imagine sitting down and getting together in heaven with an endless buffet of delicious food from all tribes of the nations of God's people, and getting to share a meal with God's people from all these different cultural backgrounds and historical time periods, actually. And actually, the other thing I like about eating food or sharing a meal with someone is because it encompasses all five love languages. So, yeah, that's why I like it. Well, first, I'll clarify. Physical touch means that the food you eat enters your digestive systems and enters your mouth. So that's the physical touch you get from food. Anyways, food is also an act of service because it involves the effort of first people spending time cooking it and also the person organizing meals. So thank the people who help organize the meals today and cook food, right? Yes. And so food can also be seen as a gift. That means someone, not me, pays for my meal or this entire meal. So that's great. And it's also quality time because you get to spend time together with other people while eating, like tonight. And it's also words of affirmation because we get to say thank you to those who put in quality time, acts of service, gifts, to make food happen. So I guess all of you like food, so you know that food is good. But because everything good kind of, in a sense, comes from God. But then how do we know that God is good? Let's look a little bit at what Scripture says. So I'll invite Pastor Josh to read out Psalm 34, 1-8 for us.
All right, Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him.
Thanks, Josh, for reading this. Let's go to the next slide. I like this. Taste and see that their Lord is good. I like that. Like that sheep. Like, come here. Let me taste. Let me taste. Anyways, let's go to the next slide. So before we get distracted. Anyways, that's too distracting. So how do we know God is good? By tasting and seeing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So to taste and test or sample, to see involves understanding and perceiving. So taste and see then means try and experience. David in the Psalm says that God's people is to discover God's goodness and of the Lord by personal trials and experience, and to experience it by themselves. And that he doesn't want people to merely take his word for it that the Lord is good. He wants them to actively experience and know for themselves that the fact that God is good. So this psalm is actually calling us to figuratively take a bite, to try for ourselves in our own experience and find out how exactly satisfying God's goodness is. So, and also, humans also associate taste with pleasure and satisfaction. So Christians experience taste of God's goodness and grace when we actually recognize his blessing, protection, and care, and provision, like food. So I encourage you, because the only way to genuinely taste and see that the Lord is good is to try and experience God's goodness for yourself. For some of you, maybe it's being curious and asking about life's big questions for your first time. Asking those questions you might have dreaded a little bit for your first time, like, who am I? What is my purpose here for? Or for some of you is spending quality time with God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you to help you taste and see. Let's move on a little bit. Eating is actually such an important part of our lives, I expect. And this is literally how we get nourished and get energy from. Energy is converted from chemical energy in the food and then goes to your body so that you can bring life and work. And so I suspect everyone kind of eats every day, right? So let's see. Eating together and sharing a meal is actually one of a significant way we can extend our love, our grace, and our presence to those around us, especially to those of us who don't yet know Jesus, as eating is such a universal thing to do. And this way, it can open up opportunities to get to know one another deeper and have chances to care for one another. And this is also a chance for someone to literally taste and see God's goodness through your food and your care and your love you show to them. We know that this is really effective, and it's such a blessing because Jesus also shared meals with people, as you can see here. Jesus ate with the tax collectors, he ate with sinners, he ate with the Pharisees, and he also ate with the 5,000 when he multiplied the fish and the bread. And also, he also ate with the apostles during the Last Supper as well. So eating was actually a really big part of culture during Jesus' time, as it is now in our present day as well. But first of all, when you picture Jesus a little bit, does he look like you? Does he speak your language? Does he have beautiful, flowy hair? I don't know. So maybe that's an image which just popped in your brain. And some of you may say, "Ah, of course not. I won't think like that. Because we know better, right?" But be honest. Did you actually imagine Jesus looking like a Middle Eastern man with long hair who speaks English? Because that's what the movies tells us to do, right? That's those movies you see about Jesus as a Middle Eastern man who speaks English. And so, because we're subconsciously told to do so, with the media we consume, the movie we watch, or even just the things which we experience in our day-to-day life. And also, contrary to popular belief, the gospel is not a North American idea. And in fact, it's not an idea which comes from one particular culture which ever existed on this earth. Rather, it came from multiple cultures. However, the truths of the gospel were communicated to human through different cultures and through different times, and likewise have been communicated to you through your own cultural lenses. So long story short, you can't escape your own cultural biases, and it actually forms how you view the gospel. All of us live in and are surrounded by culture, believe it or not. We're constantly influenced by the many cultures we take part in. So it could be the culture here in UBCO. It could be our cultures our families are involved in, the media we consume, our work, our ethnicity and heritage, the church we go to. And it has been said that there can never be a culture-free gospel. But think about this for a second again. There can never be a culture-free gospel. This is because everyone experiences Jesus through their own cultural lens. So it's important to see how cultures and gospel mixes and influences each other. And last point I wanted to make is unity, not uniformity. Because God created all of us in his image, but he didn't create us all the same. He created us all uniquely so that we can all help each other out in the body of Christ, which we make. So look around you. Look to the person next to you and see how God has uniquely made them, right? And see how beautiful they are, right? So we should actually celebrate this, that despite the so many differences we have, maybe in our background, our culture, and even what you study, we can be united here under the same God, having community with one another. It's something to celebrate. And when you think about it again, in what kind of other group would you see such a thing? Because groups are usually characterized by their similarities rather than their differences. And let me read you an encouragement about unity in Christ by N.T. Wright. It says here, unity is easy if holiness and truth doesn't matter. It becomes hard when they do matter, as the church has discovered again and again. And you are to be people of unity. Reconciled reconcilers, you are constantly to seek ways to bring God's people together. You will be urged and tempted to join particular parties and groupings, and some such may be helpful and focus for support. But you are to be people of unity, people through whom Jesus prayed for his people comes true. Don't settle for cheap unity where nothing really matters, as long as we vaguely get along together with one another. But go instead for the hard ones, the high ones, the costing nothing, not less than everything ones. That unity is unity and holiness and truth for what Jesus prayed. Let me end with a note of encouragement from what Jesus prayed. So actually, Jesus prayed for unity for all of his believers. So he did so in John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23, when he prayed the high priestly prayer. So I'll use this to close as an encouragement for us. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to you, given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me and loved them as you loved me. So let this be encouragement, and that's all for me.